based on the separation of church and state, as relative as that may seem at times. In our oh-so-privileged way of normalizing everything to ourselves, many people imagine our modern situation is the same as the religious and political process of Jesus' day. And that can hardly be any further from the truth. See, it's important to realize that the primary governing body of Jesus' time in Judea was not Roman. The Romans frequently left governing to the local leaders in the territories that they occupied. And for Judah, this meant that the governing body was the Sanhedrin. And depending on which expert you go to on this, the Sanhedrin was made up of the Sadducees or the Pharisees or probably both. So yes, the primary governing body of Judea was made up of religious figures. The Sadducees, who were primarily wealthy conservatives, and the Pharisees, who were more like what we think of as our business class. Now, even someone with a cursory with the Gospels probably knows that Jesus was constantly bumping heads with the Sadducees. In their interchanges, Jesus was actually rebuking them and pointing to their hypocrisy and errant interpretations of Hebraic law. And as you might imagine, the wealthy and the powerful, well, they don't tend to take nicely to some homeless wandering rabbi who was rebuking them. In reading the Gospels, it doesn't take long to start realizing that Jesus was no friend to the religiously and politically powerful. As a matter of fact, like we talked about on Easter, in one of the most surprising stories about Jesus, he strikes at one of the most essential tools to their power, money. You know, when we talked about when Jesus flips the money changers' tables in the temple courtyard, he's striking at the very important source of their power. The power for the Sadducees and Pharisees. And not only does he strike at one of their sources of power, Jesus goes even a step further and denounces their religious and political elite for turning God's temple into, quote, a den of thieves. Because that's what it had become. Those who were already wealthy were taking advantage of those who had so little. And some would even be considered the least of these. As you think about that, it sounds oddly familiar to those who follow U.S. politics at the time as well. He confronts the corrupt systems that misuse its power and oppresses those in need. He literally and figuratively begins flipping tables on the powerful. He makes a political statement calling them a den of thieves. And as he does it, it's all under the watchful eye of armed militants. So yes, Jesus was very political. Jesus confronted the very political structures and people who were twisting and using religion to step on those thought of as the least of these. He confronted the political the politically powerful Sadducees and Pharisees at every turn, calling out the hypocrisy and distorted use of the Hebraic law. And then he taught them what the religious law was really meant for. The expressing of heaven on earth. He called it the kingdom of God. A place where grace, love, and justice were practiced. You see, the reality is at the heart of his message, we find something very political. You see, that at the heart of his message, it was all about the kingdom of God. In the earliest gospel that's written, which is the book of Mark, those are the very first words of Jesus. He speaks of the bringing of the kingdom of God. The first recording of words we have attributed to him. He speaks the bringing of the kingdom of God. In many ways, it was a foretelling of what his ministry would be about. See, what you have to realize is that in that time and in that place, kingdom language was political language. Jesus' hearers knew about other kingdoms, the kingdom of Herod, the kingdom of Rome, the kingdom of God had to be something different from those kingdoms. And unlike far too many Christians seem to think, the kingdom of God isn't in the afterlife in some sweet by and by. No, the kingdom of God is for the here and now. The kingdom of God is for the earth. As theologian Marcus Borg puts it, it's about the transformation of this world. What life would be like on earth if God were ruler and lords of the domination systems were not? If Jesus had wanted to avoid the political meaning of kingdom language, he would have spoken of the family of God or the community of God or the people of God, but he didn't. He spoke of the kingdom, politically loaded language, the kingdom of God. As Borg also says, the kingdom of God would be a world of economic justice in which everyone had the material basics of existence. And it would be a world of peace and nonviolence. Together, economic justice and peace are the dream of God, God's passion for a transformed world. Not surprisingly, Jesus' passion for the kingdom of God created conflict with authorities. His public activity began after the arrest of his mentor, John the Baptizer, by the Roman important ruler of Galilee. Conflict dominates his story throughout the gospel, and it climaxes in the last week of Jesus' life with his challenge to the authorities in Jerusalem and his crucifixion. Jesus was political. So yes, I am political. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm actually an independent. And in general, I don't support any particular politicians. I am more about supporting laws and government programs that help those most in need and about resisting laws and government programs that hurt people. Theologically, I simply can't see how to follow the teachings of Jesus without being political, being willing to stick out your own neck, and being willing to challenge the hypocritical power structures and leaders on behalf of the oppressed. Because, y'all, Jesus was political. So, for theological reasons, I'm political too.
Are there those who have thoughts about today's message that they'd like to share with your spiritual community?
Thank you. I'm David, and I want to start out by thanking Keith for channeling the Grateful Dead. I think he might want to refer to himself as the Grateful Live. And also, thank you for your continuing series on Bible and politics. And
you'll all be glad to know that was the last one. We're all leading to this one.
Well, but from what you said, you can't stop. I mean, it's going to be a theme all the time. So
it will be there all the time. Yeah.
So it's important to do that.
Sure.
But also, it does seem to me that most of the discussions I remember when I was coming up was that the kingdom of God was something you were going to meet when you pass on.
Right.
And you're going to meet God in this wonderful place.
Yeah. A lot less helpful, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, because that means that whatever the people do today doesn't matter because you'll be good later.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
kind of important political talk, it turns out. Are there others?
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I took Frank Dew's class on Radical Jesus a while back, and he talked a lot about this topic and about how in modern Christianity we've pretty much, I guess, whitewashed Jesus, for lack of a better term, and he was frequently telling us that Jesus he wasn't crucified for being a nice guy. And so that was, you know, something that I learned in the class and you know, something that I've, you know, put a lot of thought into since then, because like you were saying, he wasn't crucified for just, you know, doing the smile and nod. He was crucified for speaking out.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for sharing that. And if you ever see Frank's class on that, I encourage you to sign up for it. It's exceptional.
Say who, what the class was again? Frank Du. I've only seen it once, but maybe he teaches it multiple times.
I've seen it before, a few years ago. Radical Jesus.
It's on Radical Jesus, and we also went over the Collar's book in the class too.
Great. Are there others who have thoughts? Here we go.
Good morning. I'm Jim. I think when we think of kingdom, we think of power and circumstance, and this kingdom is one of love and caring, and we see it all around us in nature, in animals, in the diversity of people. We see it in the sky, in worms, in the earth. The kingdom is all around us, and we just open our eyes, and there it is.
Thank you for sharing that. It's a good perspective.
Very back.
Good morning. I'm Martha. While I think each of us does need to be political, I think where we need to be careful in the church is if we start taking a stand in. It's made me uncomfortable in the past in here when someone stands up and asks for votes for a particular political candidate or spouts off a particular political position. And I feel like even in a church like this, there have got to be varying political viewpoints. And I think we risk chasing people who don't agree with us out. And that, I think, is part of the problem now, is people with different opinions can't talk. And so I think that's important to be able to have conversations in addition, or as opposed to just saying this is the way we need to be. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, it's actually an interesting question that gets you can go hours talking about it, because if you go to more conservative churches, they have no issues with standing up and saying, vote for this person. You know, it's interesting, and they're growing. So it's a really unusual kind of thing. Like I said, I don't back candidates. I back ideas, and I stand against ideas. If it helps people, then I'm going to be for it, and if it hurts people, then I'm not. And whoever it is that happens to be the candidate that does that the best or the worst, that's how I feel about it. But, yeah, it's a really difficult and interesting line to try to figure out where to walk, because it's important. It's important to be able to have a religious space where you can talk about those things, particularly for us progressives who tend to shy away from it. When the conservative churches since the 70s really have increasingly been very comfortable with talking about it.
And so it becomes sort of important that we learn how to do that ourselves, but do it in a healthy way like you're talking about. Are there any others?
Good morning. My name is Kitty. And when I think of the scripture of what Jesus was saying when he referenced, he says, the kingdom of God is within. And that's, to me, it's like within consciousness. See, it's like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And then the next scripture is, the kingdom of God is defined as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it represents what you're saying earlier, the love, the justice.
Exactly. And righteousness in that case really is about divine equality.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Not a special piety kind of righteousness, but a righteousness based on equality. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Please.
Hello, my name is Siobhan. Glad to be here. Glad to see you all. Thank you for a wonderful message and
Thanks.
Fantastic food for thought.
Appreciate it.
The arrangement that Jim North did. I just wanted to bring attention to it and to thank Jim for it and the interpretation that's in the program. Mm-hmm. I frequently appreciate. I always appreciate those. They're always a great display of his spirituality and talent, and I just wanted to say thank you, Jim. I really, that's one of my favorite ones.
It's truly
just beautiful and wonderful in its all its facets.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Any other?